It's lucky number 7. Episode 7 of The Cabin is underway. I'm Eric Paulson with Mariah Haberman, with Audio Dave.
Hello.
And with Ellen.
Oh, hey.
She's nodding.
I usually come in with my casual. Hey.
Yeah. And today we're getting paranormal. We're talking about manufactured products and all kinds of
fun
stuff.
A whole range of topics today.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Harley Davidson to
witches.
Les Paul to witches to hang gliding.
Yes.
We got a lot for you.
We're going to be flying high on episode 7 here of The Cabin, the official Discover Wisconsin podcast. And welcome to your smooth jazz station. Oh, wait, sorry. This is The Cabin Podcast. And The Cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association. This week, we're featuring Greene County, which is right down along the Illinois border. It was created back in 1837, which is 11 years before Wisconsin became a state. General Nathaniel Greene is who it's named after. He commanded the Southern Campaign in the American Revolutionary War. Hmm. Interesting. There's technically only 2 cities in Greene County, technically.
Wow.
Broadhead, which is partially in Rock County. It's right along 11. And then, you know about Rock County, right, Mariah?
I sure do.
Okay. See. And then, of course, Monroe, which is the county seat. And lots we can talk about with Monroe. And then places like New Glarus and Monticello, they're technically villages.
Oh.
Everybody knows New Glarus, Swiss town. Well, actually, Monroe is also Swiss town. And then Monticello is just a charming little town right in between.
Yeah.
Off 69. It's a gorgeous county.
It really is.
The rolling hills, the farms, everything is fantastic.
Do you want to know what I think about every time I hear Greene County? Who is the gentleman who yodeled for the opening to the Greene County?
Oh, yeah. Tony. Boy, his last name is really complicated.
Every time I hear Greene County, I hear in his voice, "Welcome to Greene County."
Oh, yes.
That was one of my favorite openings.
I tried yodeling in that episode. That did not go well at all.
No, it didn't, but it was very entertaining.
It was.
All right. Our campfire conversation today is all about things made in Wisconsin. Was this a suggestion from around the campfire? Where'd we get this one? Our own brains?
I think we just came up with it.
I like it. Okay, cool. There are obviously a lot of great products made in this state. Eric, what's your first pick?
The first thing that came to mind was Carmex, because it's still cold and dry outside. And that's based, it started in Milwaukee. That's still based now in Franklin, south suburb of Milwaukee. And that's a product people use all over the world. And just the little yellow containers. And
I did not know about that one.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
That was a surprise to me.
And I just always knew anywhere you went, you'd see Carmex. People use it everywhere. It kind of dulls your lips a little bit sometimes. But
Now we know this is definitely not a product placement.
No. I wanted to make sure. This is not an advertisement, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, another thing I thought of was all the stuff in Kohler.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely one where every time you're out of state and you notice it, you're like, dang. There's like, you know, you see a little bit of Wisconsin every time you see that Kohler name.
Fancy hotels, you see Kohler, you know, bathroom fixtures. And
that is a tour that is still on my Wisconsin bucket list.
Oh, you haven't been?
I have not. I've heard, actually, I know it was featured on the show before I came on board here. And I remember watching that episode. And it just looks so fascinating what they do.
It is. I definitely need to check it out. The Kohler Design Center, which is right in Kohler, which, of course, is kind of a company town, just mesmerizing stuff. I mean, there's $7,000 toilets in there that are so nice. I actually wouldn't want to use it. But they just do so many creative things. And it's a cool merging of technology and design.
A lot of people I went to college with either interned there or work there now. They hire a lot of students right out of college. And they have a great internship program.
Really? Seems like a great place. I mean,
it's a great
obviously
company to work for.
Yeah, it employs a lot of people. And
this still is not an ad, by the way.
I know they do a lot for Kohler, the city, too, which I think is really cool and admirable.
It's a cool place to visit, too, with the shops at Wood Lake and all that kind of stuff.
I love Kohler. So. We should do a show there soon.
Should. Kohler, are you listening?
And then I can do my tour finally.
Perfect.
There we go. Problem solved.
Another big one was Outboard Motors. You know, Wisconsin has Mercury Marine and Evinrude and all these companies. The outboard motor was invented in Wisconsin.
Really? Really?
Legend has it, yes. Ole Evinrude one day was, it was a very hot summer day, and he was with his, I guess, girlfriend at the time. I think that's the woman he ended up marrying. So he was rowing her on this boat on this lake. I think it was in Waukesha County. I'm thinking it's Okauchee Lake. I'm not sure, though. But he was rowing her out to this island in the lake. And it was a really hot day, and she wanted ice cream. Hmm. Well, he had to go back to the mainland to go get ice cream. So Ole gets back in the boat, and he's rowing, and it's like 90-something degrees outside, and he's sweating up a storm, and he gets the ice cream, and then he puts it in the boat, and he's rowing back, and he's sweating up more of a storm, then the ice cream's melting all over the place, and he's letting loose what I'm only presuming is a bunch of expletives, which, by the way, is a great catalyst for development. When you get really ticked about something, you tend to want to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he figured there's got to be a faster, easier way to get this boat from here to there without having to paddle my buns off. Mm-hmm. And so he invented the outboard motor.
I didn't know that. Wait, where was this?
Somewhere in Waukesha County. And Ole Evinrude lived, I think he was in Milwaukee at the time. And so he helped develop that motor. I can't say that's 100% true story, but I've heard it a number of times and it seems to make sense. And that is where the outboard motor started.
A lot of cool ideas start in Waukesha, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. The solid body electric guitar.
Yes.
Isn't that cool? I love this story. So if you know anything about Les Paul, you probably know that he had some pretty strong ties to Wisconsin, specifically Waukesha. In fact, we talked about this, I think, a little bit in episode 2, if you guys recall, when we mentioned our Wisconsin's Walking Tours show, which featured the city of Waukesha. And you really can't talk about Waukesha without talking about Les Paul. He was really famous for his music in general, but specifically literally inventing the solid body electric guitar. And he was actually nicknamed the Wizard of Waukesha due to his innovations and inventions in guitar playing and recording styles, which I think is super cool. That was one of my favorite interviews from last season, actually.
Yeah. He did a lot of pioneering in music, and you know, so many musicians worldwide swear by their Gibson Les Paul or just a Les Paul style guitar. They have a great display in Milwaukee too at Discovery World.
Oh, really?
About Les Paul. Really, really cool exhibit. So if you ever find yourself down there, make sure you check that out.
We would not have multi-track recording without him.
That's right. He pioneered that too, mm-hmm. which is huge.
That is
that's how
massive. Yeah.
Do an example of multi-track recording. Hit one of those hotkeys there. Come on. Excellent choice. I'd say that's a hidden gem.
Oh no.
Oh, you don't have that at the ready? Audio dance. There we go.
Sorry, I'm slacking today.
What was the hidden gem exactly?
Just the ability to do multi-track recording.
Your hidden gem references are always quite a stretch.
I'll sharpen them up, Mariah. My apologies.
Yeah, I think from now on, Mariah only gets to trigger the hidden gems.
I just like kidding. These new rules.
So yeah, we've hit up lip balm, outboard motors, music, toilets and showers, all kinds of stuff so far.
Motorcycles.
And you can't forget Harley and motorcycles.
Perhaps the most famous product. Maybe.
Loudest.
Definitely the loudest, for sure. Yes. The museum, the Harley-Davidson Museum, is one of the coolest museums in Wisconsin.
It really is.
I think so.
They have motorcycle number one
there.
They have a whole bunch of different models you can sit on.
My favorite one was, it's been a while since I've been there, but I remember they had a model of a motorcycle that came from some other country where they experienced like a really bad, there's like a hurricane or something. Anyway, this motorcycle or tsunami.
From Japan, the Japanese tsunami.
Was it a tsunami? Okay. So then this motorcycle got swept away from Japan and landed in like Alaska or somewhere in North America.
What?
Yeah. It like washed ashore. And they have this motorcycle up on display. And I mean, it looks ridiculous. Like it's been through it.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting to see. It's not all like beautiful bikes. Uh-huh. It's also bikes with some incredible stories.
Harleys don't shy away from grit.
Yeah, they don't. Yes.
And I will say this, submerging it in salt water for an extended period of time is probably not the best thing you can do for a motorcycle.
Right?
So.
Yeah, you can see the damage of the salt water on that bike for sure. Yeah, I might have told you guys this when I got my motorcycle license for the show. They asked me to ride with Bill Davidson. And I don't think I was ever more nervous for a shoot in my career here with Discover Wisconsin, because I was brand new on the bike and I was like, if I tip this bike over in front of Bill Davidson, I will never forgive myself. I stayed on it, and it was in downtown Milwaukee.
That really is throwing you in the deep end, though. Remember, that's like barely learning guitar and then having to play for Les Paul.
Yeah, no, thanks. I wouldn't do. I think I was I knew the shots would be amazing, and I was excited about that. And I told him a million times, I'm very new at this. And he was very encouraging and just glad that I got my license in the first place. But anyway, Harley Davidson, that's another one where you see it like referenced all the time in movies and on TV. And I always get a little bit of a kind of pride moment every time I see it.
Well, and the rallies and the birthday celebrations in Milwaukee. I mean, I live about a half a mile from that museum, and it's, you know, when you have 200,000 bikers coming in, it's fun, it's festive, and it's loud.
Yeah. I bet you can't record a podcast there.
No. There's
well,
a lot of background
could.
Noise.
Yeah. It'd be a little tough. It'd be a little tough.
And I'm gonna throw one little thing out there. We don't have to dwell on it, but just because you see it all over the world, those manhole covers made in Neenah, Wisconsin, Neenah Foundry.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Paris, and I've seen Neenah, Wisconsin
in
the sidewalks.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize it was worldwide.
It's all over the place. Well, they have sewers.
Yeah, I guess everyone has sewers.
Huh. And not a lot of people are in the sewer manhole cover business.
Maybe
it's real hard
be.
To break into that.
Yeah.
Right? It's a high barrier
not
to entry.
Not when Neenah's got a monopoly on them, evidently.
And yes. One thing about Wisconsin, they make so many things here that we all use but don't really think much about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Wisconsin gets your basics covered in life. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to put it.
Any other
nice
products we can...
little bow on it.
Yeah. And of course, we grow a ton of stuff here, too.
We do. Yeah. Yes. And I feel like we could do an entire episode alone on what we harvest in the state of Wisconsin, a different type of made in Wisconsin. So maybe we should save that.
How about grown in Wisconsin?
Grown in Wisconsin.
We'll do that for a... Can I submit that as a listener suggestion?
We'll go to our Facebook group. No, make them go to the Facebook group.
I'm only taking submissions in the Facebook group.
All right.
So you don't get direct access to Ellen.
And so we'll do the grown in Wisconsin
on
one of these future episodes. After I submit the request using the proper channels.
Yes.
Then I will then input it into our spreadsheet, and then we'll do it from there.
Well, maybe. It's got to be vetted. Ellen's got to decide whether it's a good enough idea.
I already promised it in this podcast. It's too late. And before we jump into our next segment, we do have a quick word from one of our sponsors, Ho-Chunk Casinos, which has 6 locations around Wisconsin. Black River Falls, Madison, Nakusa, Toma, Wisconsin Dells, and Wittenberg. And the biggest one I think is the Dells one, right?
Right.
And that one's a lot of fun. I've done some radio remotes at the one in Madison that started as Dejope.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo, and now it's Ho-Chunk Casino, and that's always a lot of fun. And they have a lot of entertainment there, too.
They really
do. A lot of music acts show up at those, and especially the one at the Dells.
Yeah, it's my favorite casino in Wisconsin. I love it. And I think the entertainment factor is what a lot of people probably don't realize. I know folks who do go regularly are, you know, they love it, but it is impressive the type of shows that they put on so regularly. And just, I also love the culture behind Ho-Chunk Casinos, the nation itself, learning about the stories. They do a really good job sharing some of those stories across their channels, which I think it's, you know, that's not always something people take into consideration when they're mm-hmm. going to.
Well, when you think about, okay, we're going to go play slots or we're going to go play blackjack or whatever, there's so many other entertainment options there too. The whole point is to go there and have a good time.
And here's a little tip. When you go to the casinos, and I know this is specifically at the Dells location, I think it's probably at several of the others too, but look at the architectural details. Because there's some nods to Ho-Chunk Nation throughout the casino that a lot of people don't realize, from just the floors themselves, the fireplaces, the ceilings are all made out of certain types of materials that relate back to things that matter to Ho-Chunk Nation. And I didn't realize this until I actually took a tour of one of the casinos and was really blown away by the things that you just don't really look at necessarily.
Well, it's a bit of a cultural showcase too.
Yeah, it totally is.
So there we go. Getting in the groove again here. So behind the scenes today, we're not joined by anyone.
Scene.
I know, I read that wrong.
Our guest is still Ellen.
Yes, exactly. We're talking actually today in behind the scenes about the new Whitewater episode of Discover Wisconsin. That officially is this coming weekend, March 21st, 22nd, 21st
and 22nd.
As spring arrives officially. Mm-hmm. So yes. We are springing in with Whitewater. And Mariah, you and I are both in this episode.
Yeah.
And got to do a lot of fun stuff. You got to go to the game, football game.
I did. I got to be a little sports reporter at the game, actually.
I saw the clip of that. I haven't seen the full episode yet.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, the producer, has not shown it to me, but I look forward to seeing it. But I have seen your posts.
It's
about from the game, from the Warhawks.
I think it's on YouTube already, actually.
Is it?
You could go watch it there. Yeah. Yes, it was fun. It was really fun. I got to interview a couple of the running backs. I think they're running backs or wide receivers. Right after the game, one of whom scored. Actually, I got to watch him score a touchdown, which is cool.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, people sometimes assume like I did sports reporting, which I've never done and I never will. So it was fun to kind of pretend for a day, be on the sidelines. It was freezing. I do remember that. It was really cold.
Yeah, there was like random shots where it was just pouring snow.
It was hailing at one point.
It was hailing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pouring snow?
Well, dumping snow.
Sleet.
It was snowing heavily.
It was pouring hail. There was a lot of things coming from the sky that day. Let's just say that.
Footballs and snowflakes.
Yes.
Well, speaking of in the sky, hang gliding?
Oh, yeah. That was really fun. I got asked by Brian, our producer, to go hang gliding, and I said yes right away just because it's something I've never done. I didn't realize that Hang Gliding Wisconsin, which is in Whitewater, is the only place that offers it in the state of Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. So it was really easy. We went, got a kind of short little lesson from the instructor, and then we went up and we hooked the GoPro up and just had a good time. I think of course, I asked a lot of questions like, what are the accident rates? How common?
How often is it hang crashing?
Right. Yes. Well, that's what, so he said, what's interesting about hang glide? It is very safe because he said, unlike other aircraft, you can't just fall out of the sky because of the way the wings are kind of built. So you truly are gliding down to the ground. Okay. That said, he can do things and pull things and strings and all of that to really make the ride crazy. And you feel like you're on a roller coaster ride. So he asked me like, how much of an intense, do you want me to do more of this or do you want me to just glide? And I was like, more of the gliding. But it was really cool. It's kind of, I liken it a little bit to a more adrenaline infused version of hot air ballooning, because with hot air balloon, like when you're in a hot air balloon, you're not obviously going fast and it's pretty chill. It's quiet. In hang gliding, you can go fast, but what's similar about it to me is the noise. I think people forget how you're used to being in the sky in a plane and it's loud, but when you're hang gliding, there's no noise anywhere. So that is a very just strange, surreal experience.
Well, it was the same in the hot air balloon.
That's why
we went up in that
together.
Yeah,
and that's kind of why I liken it a little bit to that is, you know, it's just something you don't think about is like the sound.
It's like a weird piece.
Yeah, you're removed. You're completely removed from the chaos of what's going on the ground. And that was just a very, very cool experience.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised with how you mentioned you were very quick to shoot down the idea of skydiving when we talked about that, but had no problems with hang gliding?
No, with skydiving, there's something about that jumping out of a plane / free falling that feels a million times scarier to me.
Yeah.
And again, this may be because I'm traumatized from my bungee jumping experience, which is also free falling. This felt like, okay, I'm attached to another human. So if I go down, he's going down too. For some bizarre reason, I find some solace in that. Two of us will die. No, it was good. And I could ask him, like we could talk while we were up there, which was fun. And it didn't feel safe. I didn't feel uncomfortable at all at any point. So I loved it.
That's cool.
Yeah, you could like see the nearby towns around. And so he's pointing out like, there's downtown Whitewater. There's the campus. So it was cool to like get kind of the drone's perspective of, you know, like.
Did you see the water tower from there?
I'm sure I could have. I don't specifically remember, but, you know, I was also trying not to look straight down. I was trying to look out.
Yeah, that's the part that would
very
freak
wise.
Me out.
So, and I only ask that because the water tower, the one that's kind of near downtown by campus, it's an old, old water tower.
Okay.
That's considered a center for paranormal activity.
Oh.
This is a big thing in this episode is...
Oh, queued it up.
Did not see that coming, Audio Dave.
For this episode.
I love it.
So there's a lot of paranormal activity that supposedly happens in and around Whitewater. A lot of witches apparently gathered around in the 19th century there into the 20th and perhaps into the 21st. And part of what I got to do on the show was do some paranormal tours.
Cool.
And that included a stop in the water tower at night in the fall, which was really cool.
That is awesome. It's a really, this is why I want you to go watch the show on YouTube, because this was one of my favorite parts of the show, was really? The spirit tour okay. that you went on.
Yeah.
I love it. And we get asked all the time to do haunted themes on our show, which would be another good episode idea.
Yes.
I'll submit it.
I love spooky Wisconsin.
We did see a comment about someone asking for us to go into the urban legends and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, I did. Yep. I did write that Ed Gein fact into us.
Yes. You did?
We gave you a little grief for that, but I think she was on to
something.
Yeah.
It was good.
I mean, that'll mean we're going to Shaker Cigar Bar in Milwaukee one of these days.
I've given a talk because I've been asked to give speeches on haunted Wisconsin and near Halloween, and I've gone to Janesville a couple years in a row to talk about haunt. Now I have a new destination to add to my speech.
Yeah, that place
Whitewater.
It's really cool.
Do you believe in that stuff?
To some extent.
Okay, Dave?
Yeah. I haven't decided.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I would say no until I'm in that. Like, if I go on that tour, then I'm easily influenced. I feel like those people, that it can be convincing. Those stories can be very convincing.
I think I'm in disbelief until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you get the proof, it's probably terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do love ghost stories and horror, and I honestly had the most fun sound designing the portion of this episode because I'm always coming across these weird sound effects and just like spooky things that I know that I'll never have a chance to use mm-hmm. for this show. And so for this opportunity, I just had a ball doing that.
Yay.
Well, and the more you hear the stories in and around Whitewater about that, the more believable it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially around there, will recount all of these stories that sound very real. I mean, I think most people in Whitewater believe.
Yeah.
So, and that gets into you because we do the water tower, and it's spooky awesome in there. Just the way it looks inside and the shadows and the stories. And then we were in the cemetery that's right by downtown, which is the perfect place to go after
after
being in the water tower and hearing about all that, because then you're around all these graves and everything and many are from the 1800s. You know, it's a beautiful but scary place in a way, especially we were in there the first time. We went there twice while we were filming the show. One of the times was late at night. And there's very narrow roads that wind through there. And sometimes there's drop-offs to where the graves are. And we're driving the Discover Wisconsin Mobile through there. And
I love going to cemeteries.
It's a little...
Let's dive into that.
That sounds like a whole...
That's another whole episode, I think. And our spirit tour started at this really cool place on this just south of town called the Fuzzy Pig.
Oh, that sounds great.
And it's a barn. It's actually a farm, somebody's farm. And they took, the barn is the Fuzzy Pig, and that's kind of a really, really cool antique store.
Oh, it was so cool.
They have so much neat stuff in there. I bought a couple things.
Did you?
And then there's a restaurant next door in the old farmhouse, and I think it's called Krause something or other.
I saw you eating by yourself on the show.
Yeah, but I love
it. He was eating with Andy for a little bit.
Everything there was good. No, Andy got to eat. Brian got to eat. I took so many pictures of that food because it was as delicious as it looked, and it looked unreal.
Yeah. You have to be a confident person to eat by yourself. I respect that.
I'm an only child, you know.
Confident I haven't always had a choice.
There was a camera in front of him.
Yeah, the camera was my company. And two producers going, come on, hurry up.
Take smaller bites. So,
I had to learn the small bites lesson.
I did too. Eating is, that is a thing people do not think about doing on camera until you have to do it. And you're like, that's hard to look decent.
I mean, I heard about not chewing with your mouth full, but the whole small bites thing was a whole nother level.
Uh-huh.
And then we were also, because of the tradition with witchcraft and everything in Whitewater, one of the city's nicknames is Second Salem, just like Salem, Massachusetts. And so there's a Second Salem Brewing Company.
Oh.
craft brewery. They make really good beers. They have great food, too. So we went there for lunch, and we did some filming there and tried their beers and got the story about Second Salem. So that was a really cool thing, too. And that's right downtown, real popular with the college students who are 21 and older. And, of course, all of us. So
I love this episode because I think when a city like Whitewater has a thing that kind of the whole state or region knows it for, and in this case, it's the university, it's hard for people to think outside of what that thing is. So I'm glad that we're showing the iconic part of UWW there, or UWW, I think, as they call
UWW,
it.
UWW, yeah.
because that's clearly the hub of the city and is such a big part of Whitewater. But the things that we did outside of the university, I think, are really, truly fascinating and some things that we've never done on the show before. It just, I thought, was much more interesting than I had really thought it could be. And I mean that in the best of ways, because I had an idea of my head of, I think I know Whitewater. I think I got this town figured out, but the show really did even surprise me. I really like that episode.
Well, it's one of the more spiritual shows we've done.
Mm-hmm. In a different kind of way.
In a different kind of way. One of the more paranormal shows we've ever done.
Well, we've never, I don't remember covering off much on paranormal activity in general. So this one, I think it stands out for that reason.
And I think the fact that we filmed in the fall, at least I know my scenes were in the fall when all the colors and the air is getting crisper and cooler. Because October can be so cool.
Yeah.
October into November.
God, might be my favorite month.
And it just framed everything perfectly. Because it was around Halloween.
It's a great episode.
Yeah.
So you can watch it now on YouTube, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and DiscoverWisconsin.com.
And DiscoverWisconsin.com, which, of course, is just the embedded YouTube.
Yes.
And, of course, it'll be on your television sets this weekend.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Wisconsin, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock statewide, and in 7 other states, too. Check local listings.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
All right.
Shall we move on to the events this weekend?
Yeah, I saw you're getting ready to hit the button, so.
Well, hit the button.
I was prepared for a transition.
Hit the button, Dave. Hit the button.
Simplifying his position down to hit the button. Kicking off this Thursday in Milwaukee is the 96th Annual Home and Garden Show. This event runs through the 29th and is the nation's longest-running home and garden show. Check it out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, because now is the time to sweep aside your outdated and overgrown home and garden spaces and find some inspiration while also learning about all the latest home improvement tips and trends. Maple Fest is this Sunday in Lake Geneva. Things get started bright and early at 7:30 a.m. and run through 3 p.m. This family-friendly event starts with an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast, followed by activities, maple syrup tours, and much more. All of the proceeds raised during Maple Fest go towards reducing the cost of summer camps and directly benefit the local community. Next up this weekend is the Waukesha Expo Market. This market is a place to find antiques, collectibles, coins, jewelry, art, and more. If you're a collector or just love antiques, then this is the event for you. The Waukesha Expo Center will be open for the event on both Saturday and Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Make sure you check it out. Last but certainly not least, this is my favorite, Princeton Spring Wine Walk. You guys know I love a good wine walk. I also really love Princeton. Grab your friends and walk around downtown Princeton. They have the coolest shops ever, sampling tons of different wines and checking out all the great local businesses that will be showcased. For more info on this great event and everything else taking place in the Princeton area, check out PrincetonWI.com.
Well done.
Yay. Nice work.
I did some little improv-y comments, which I think held me back.
With the extra words, you still managed to nail it just right.
So my word count was 267, but Mariah was a little over that. And
how about 280?
Ellen was over here just like rapid fire counting on her fingers.
It
looked very stressful.
Being over the word count is the story of my life. So I think that's appropriate. I'm always going over on words. And you really did put Princeton at the end, which I didn't read this beforehand. I should have looked at it because I knew it was going to trip me up because we're not big on show prep, and I could go on Princeton should have been in our small town podcast episode that we did. Now I got
to
do.
I think we'll have
we'll
an
have
opportunity
to do, part two.
To do more.
I know we really should.
I'm always down to talk more about Blanchardville.
You're like the mayor of Blanchardville.
You know, if they want to send me a key to the city or village. I'm open to it.
Are you an ambassador for Blanchardville?
You know, that's up to them.
He's going to be like what's the main person in the parade? The
Grand Marshal?
The Grand Marshal. You're going to be the Grand Marshal of the Blanchardville 4th of July parade.
I look
I'm
forward to that.
Campaign for
I'll
that.
I'll clear my schedule now.
So we were talking about Wisconsin and 72 because we have 72 counties. We talk about Princeton and boom, Audio Dave still manages to steer it back to Blanchardville.
Yeah, every time. Every time. Okay, we love doing this podcast. Well, I don't know if I'm speaking for everyone. I love doing this podcast, and I think everyone loves doing this podcast. And I really hope if you're listening, you're loving listening. If you're at this episode,
if you're still
point,
with us, you
yeah,
like
you
it at least,
probably.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying it. I know we always say this, but please leave us a review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
iHeartRadio.
It does. It's. I know we talk about it a lot, but it really kind of helps keep us going. And we love getting that feedback. It helps let us know kind of where we should be steering the podcast. So we're, you know, beyond just the leaving the review and the subscribing, reach out to us on social media, the Discover Wisconsin, or fine. I know a few of us are pretty vocal across our channel. So don't be shy about sending us a DM and, you know, hopefully saying nice things. But if you've got some other feedback, I'll hear that too, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I get all kinds of feedback.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yes, help us convince the people we need to convince to allow us to do this with our afternoons.
Our bosses? Yeah. Uh-huh.
That sounded confusing for a second.
Yeah.
But okay. All right.
Halfway through the sentence, I heard myself and went,
I got what you meant.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Help us convince our bosses that we should be in this cool cabin room,
yes,
talking for 3 hours straight.
Justify our existence.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week's episode of The Cabin. Don't forget to check out this weekend's episode of Discover Wisconsin on Whitewater. And, of course, we've gone over all the different ways you can access it. And it will always be alive on all the online things, YouTube, et cetera. And by the way, make sure you have the Discover Wisconsin app. That's a really good, easy way to access all of our shows and everything else. Now, next week, we'll be joined by one of our Discover Wisconsin videographers, Andy.
Yay.
Talking about New Richmond.
Cool.
Should be cool. And we're also going to be talking about the islands of Wisconsin.
I love it. Can we get some tropical music queued up?
Yep. It's happening right now.
Oh,
note to
boy.
Self, put tropical music in there.
If you like pee.
We don't have the rights to that.
That's true.
What if we did a cover of it?
I don't think you want that. I tried leading, by the way, we were doing a hayride near Rice Lake, and we were at a pumpkin farm. And during the hayride, I had a bunch of Girl Scouts in the wagon with me, and I led them on a chorus of "If you like pina coladas," and their moms thought it was hilarious, and they didn't put it in the show.
Oh man!
Not even in the credits?
No, that would have been funny. Getting caught in the rain, you know.
That's funny.
I know.
Random, but funny.
There's a lot of funny stuff that doesn't make the air.
I know. It rarely makes it. Seems like. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Audio Dave / Dave Janice. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover MediaWorks. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Marshfield Clinic is a leader in implementing athletic training and sports medicine programs in the state of Wisconsin.
The Marshfield Clinic sports medicine team consists of 41 athletic trainers, and we provide care throughout the Marshfield Clinic system to 39 schools and other athletic organizations in central and northern Wisconsin.
With more and more information available and increasing amounts of research dedicated to sports-related injuries and treatment, sports medicine is now seen as a critical component of athletic programs at all levels.
We went around to actually every single multi-specialty and, of course, the primary care departments within the Marshfield Clinic system and explained to them what their role can be in developing a very strong Marshfield Clinic system sports medicine program whose emphasis is on prevention, assessment of injuries, and then, of course, the importance of rehabilitation.
Every year, Marshfield Clinic hosts events to educate athletic trainers, team physicians, and allied healthcare providers on everything they might need to know in an emergency situation.
The care of a critically injured athlete, especially one that's wearing equipment like football gear or hockey equipment, has some special challenges associated with it. Primarily, that would be accessing the airway, making sure that we can have access to the chest if we need to do chest compressions or to put on the defibrillator.
The ultimate goal of Marshfield Clinic's sports medicine program is for all parties to work together in a seamless and efficient manner to keep athletes and fans safe. And now you know your Wisconsin.